Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. And if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, tell a friend and join us on social media for more content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach Clinton.
Hey everyone, Zach here. Just wanted to wish you a happy 4th of July, and I hope you are safe and joyful as we celebrate the birth of this great nation this week. Today's conversation is a delight. My dad visits with Christian author, historian, and resident authority on religious freedom and the origins of our Judeo-Christian American heritage, Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Let's go ahead and let's jump right in.
Joining us now is Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Newcomb currently serves as the director of the Providence Forum, as well as senior producer and host of Truth That Transforms for the D. James Kennedy Ministries. Author of several books, his columns have appeared weekly in Town Hall, Christian Post, Newsmax, and more. Dr. Newcomb, welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's a privilege. And by the way, I'm so grateful. Providence Forum is a division of D. James Kennedy Ministries, which is now Coral Ridge Ministries.
Yes, indeed. Dr. Newcomb, not far away from our Independence Day here in America, July 4th celebration, I know you have a deep affection in your heart for those who served, those who have served, and their families, those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, a cost, by the way, Jerry, for our freedom.
That's so true. All gave some, but some gave all. And I think we are the recipients of those patriots that laid down their lives so that we might be free. I mean, for example, when Americans declared independence in 1776, it was a year into the war already. The first blood really officially was shed in the Massachusetts area, actually in the Boston area, in Lexington, Concord. And many of those people were just Christian men, you know, standing up for their freedom. And then they were fired upon. And so at Concord, they fired back. And that's where we have the shot heard around the world. That was in April 1775. Then a couple months later, the Continental Congress decided to name George Washington of Virginia to be our commander-in-chief. Well, he basically took over a ragtag army, if you will, of farmers and merchants and men who had a love for God in their hearts and a love for freedom. And their goal was to be free and to live according to their God-given liberties and God-given rights. And the king and parliament wouldn't let them do that. And so we ended up with this conflict. And so then a year later, 1776, on July 4th, that's when the Congress, Continental Congress in Philadelphia, 56 men, they voted by voice vote to accept the final wording of the Declaration of Independence. So that's the significance of July 4th, 1776. And we've been celebrating freedom ever since.
Jerry, I know you're a student of history. You love it and you communicate it so well. And you really anchor us. You really anchor us spiritually too. But Jerry, as you look back, you know, and you think about those men, bold, courageous men wanted to be free from tyranny. I mean, and they wanted religious liberty. They wanted to enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. and to celebrate those unalienable rights that were given to us by our Creator, by God, and they acknowledge them. I want you to just even go a little bit deeper about the significance of that moment, and then talk to us about the documents, you know, what they were signing, what they were saying, and then how our Constitution, our Bill of Rights and everything really came into being, why it's so important to us.
Yes, the reason that the documents that these men produced by God's grace, beginning with the Declaration of Independence and then, of course, culminating in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence is really our national birth certificate. It explains why we exist. It mentions God four times. And above all, as I said earlier, it mentions that God is the source of our rights. And they also said we are appealing to God for his help, you know, for the rectitude of our intentions. You know, we're doing this in good faith and we're trusting in God. I like to put it this way. The Americans in the Declaration of Independence declared independence from England, but at the same time declared dependence upon Almighty God. And then 11 years later, after the conflicts were over, after England finally surrendered, then the founding fathers sat down to modify the Articles of Confederation, which was our first governing document. That did not work. And so they decided to start all over again. And so in the summer of 1787, they produced the Constitution, which, like the Declaration of Independence, was based on a biblical worldview. Man is sinful, says the Bible. You can't get around that. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? If you take time to read the Constitution, you realize that they took power and they separated it. As James Madison, a key architect of the Constitution, sometimes called the father of the Constitution, but he said, all men having power ought to be distrusted. This is their view because the Bible teaches this and so does human history. And so they were very careful to not let power, too much power, reside in the hands of any one or few people. So they rejected a monarchy by any other means or any other terms, you know, a dictatorship, if you will. They rejected oligarchy, ruled by the few, and instead chose to give us a constitutional republic with, of course, a democratic element in the sense that we, the people, get to vote for who represents us in Congress. But we don't have a mobocracy, if you will. We don't have a democracy in the sense of, you know, all these people having a democracy over a geographical large space cannot work. Now, the founders talked about this, by the way, in the Federalist Papers. And the Federalist Papers are letters that were initially written by, you know, with a pseudonym Publius, and they were written by Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay. And I say it in that order because that's, you know, Hamilton wrote the most, Madison the second, and John Jay the least of these Federalist Papers. All they were brilliant letters to persuade the voters of New York, ratify the Constitution. It's for our best interest. And they were persuasive, and it did get ratified by New York and, of course, the other states, enough of them to push them over the edge. And so we have the freedom that we have, this governing document, which, again, is predicated on the Declaration of Independence, which says that our rights come from God. So the essence of the American experiment, self-rule under God.
We hear a lot of tension between our rights come from God. No, the opposing, dissenting, the other view would be, oh, no, our rights come from government. And Jerry, help flesh that out a little bit more and why sure. That's really important that we understand this, because this is where we're getting lost.
I agree with you. And I think the fact is, if you base everything on, you know, man and government, which is created by men, then you have a very bad foundation that you're building on. And we have seen in recent history, I mean, even in the 20th century alone, we saw tens of millions of human beings killed by their own government in the name of supposedly bringing about equality and justice and so forth. For example, with the Soviet Union, with the Nazi Germany, you know, which was the German Workers' Socialist Party and so forth. Paul Johnson, the great British historian, He died about a year ago or so, but he wrote a great book at the end of the 20th century. It was called The Quest for God. And in that, he said, you know, one of the big lessons we can learn in the 20th century is that when you have these totalitarian states, you know, they're all what he used the phrase godless constructs. In other words, not based on God or the Judeo-Christian God, certainly. You could say with Hitler, you know, what was his religion? Well, Richard Weikart, retired professor from one of the state schools in California. He wrote a book, in fact, called Hitler's Religion. And he carefully goes through it all. And he says, look, at the end of the day, what he believed in was fate with a capital F. Mm-hmm. Nature, he believed in red with tooth and claw. And his goal with the whole Holocaust, you know, not only killing the Jews, but all those gypsies and all those people that he killed, the goal was, let's clean up the gene pool. Darwin was right. Let's put evolution on steroids. We'll create a master race. These people don't fit, so we'll kill them. Are you serious? I mean, this is what happens. So you ask, what difference does it make when God is the source of our rights? It makes all the difference in the world. It's almost as if these days, too often, when Congress meets and so forth, we're losing more and more of our freedoms. They're frittering away our savings, our livelihood, you know, our financial, the debt is just unbelievable. It's like, it's just exploding. And one day, you know, we'll have to pay the piper on those things. So bottom line is, there's a huge difference between believing that God is the source of our rights versus believing government is the source of our rights. As my good friend, Bill Federer, author of America's God and Country, he likes to say this. He says, you know, when the government giveth you your rights, the government can easily taketh away those rights.
That's why balance of power becomes really important when you look at our systems of government. And that's why this weaponization of systems of government is so threatening. And then when you have an ideology, a socialist, Marxist ideology that comes in, it's just railroading. And all it's doing is we just want to, like, a one system, period. This is the way we're going to do it. And you better fall in line or we're going to get rid of you. We're going to exterminate you. We're going to wipe you out. That's the chaos. And that's the tension I think people are really, really feeling right now.
I agree with you. And I think that when you read books by even former socialists, and I'm thinking right now of 1984 by George Orwell, you know, he describes a nightmare scenario where Big Brother takes over. Big Brother, of course, was based on Stalin with his big bushy mustache. And they control every aspect of your life. And if you don't conform, bam, they get
They'll suppress you. They'll censor you. They'll shut you down. They'll take you out. And Jerry, it's
scary.
And
eventually maybe even kill you. You know, I mean, there was a couple, a Catholic couple. They became Catholics. It was a husband and wife. They were journalists. And they were fellow travelers. They loved the Soviet Union at first. Then the more they learned about what was really going on, they became so disillusioned. And they wrote in the early 1990s, when the whole thing collapsed, they said, my goodness, this was, by the way, quoted in the National Review magazine. They said, when the Soviet Union imploded and it was all said and done, what did they have to show for 70 years of communism? Mm. They couldn't even deliver the goods. In other words, they couldn't even always feed the people and so forth. They had nothing to show for it but tens of millions of corpses. These were former communists that said that. And so it's very scary to see these government agencies just grabbing more and more power. I'm not saying they're like the Soviet Union, but I am saying that that could be the end game, you know, if they get too much
Jerry,
power.
Yeah, we've got to have checks and balances in here.
Absolutely.
We've got to have this come let us reason together peace. Get a seat at the table. Everybody a seat at the table. No wonder that line is, if it's a republic, if you can keep it.
That's exactly right. And Patrick Henry, one of our great founding fathers, said that it is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains.
Jerry, this is the kind of conversation we've got to be having because, you know, in my heart, I want to make sure that this is getting into the kitchen table conversation. Like my five sisters, I want to make sure they're hearing this because, Jerry, I'm not sure Americans are sensing that we're drifting, that we're going down this road, but I'm not sure they really fully can articulate their position. Are you sensing what I'm saying?
I sense exactly what you're saying. And it's almost unthinkable to consider America without freedom, but we are seeing the hampering of our freedom, you know, more and more and more. I mean, there are certain topics where free speech is not allowed in certain areas, even speech which involves, let's say, questioning, you know, what's right and what's wrong. I mean, we saw that sometimes with a dogmatic approach to some of the scientific solutions for COVID, even the origins of COVID and all those kinds of things. And, you know, I don't even like to talk about the COVID stuff because I think it's just so, you know, annoying and so forth. But it wasn't right when the government said no jab, no job. And they did this as if this was what the science, you know, proved and so forth. I mean, why you keep reading about all these people who died suddenly, even people who were young people who were in good shape. And it's like, what? So, you know, bottom line is a top down form of government does not bode well for our future. And I think there are too many, even fellow Americans, who seem to have no problem with the government grabbing more and more.
Total infringement on rights is what it is. That's why those documents were so significant. That's why we've got to have checks and balances in this way so that government doesn't get into that tyranny place all over again. Jerry, I'm thinking too in my mind about how and what's happening, even like in our schools. They're changing the narrative. They're trying to wipe out how our kids understand our history and more. And I know there's America's not perfect. I know there's some stuff in there that we need to deal with. But Jerry, at the end of the day, when you wipe this stuff out, I mean, you're wiping out, you know, the bedrock of who we are.
I agree. I think a lot of young people today come away after school experiences, you know, all these years of schooling, they come away with the feeling that, well, America is and always was a racist country. Well, there's no question that there were some terrible aspects in American history. But if you look at it, have not most of those been, you know, dealt with? You know, I mean, we don't have slavery anymore. There is slavery, by the way, taking place in some other countries where there's not a Judeo-Christian worldview, you know, at the top or even in its history to have impacted that. So I think wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ has gone first, that's so often where the freedom is found. But going back to America as a nation, we are indeed seeing a lot of people on the left that want to erase American history, and they want to say that America, for example, always was racist, is racist to its core, its DNA is racist. In effect, what they want to do is tear it all down and then create some sort of new Marxist utopia, which is no utopia at all. In fact, the word utopia means no place. And so, so it's actually, in some ways, it's a fair term, but it's a horrible nightmare that they want to impose on us. And I think we're getting taste of that nightmare that some of the people experiencing in, frankly, in those big cities where the left has all the control and all the power. And, you know, don't believe your lying eyes about all that crime you're seeing and so forth. And so anyway, I think people really want a shot at the American dream. They really want a shot at what the founders sacrificed to give us to honor our God-given rights. But when you have an elite intelligentsia that tries to control so much, including the media, the social media, academia, the major political structures and so forth, major courts, we've got a problem. It's almost like there's two different Americas. There's one that recognizes the Bible leads to freedom, and the other one says, no, the Bible has no place in the public arena.
Jerry, I want to try to connect something here for a moment. We know that the fear factor is going through the roof. The open borders, what we've seen happen, people are worried not only about fentanyl and the substance abuse stuff that, you know, we're experiencing and the human trafficking that we're seeing with America kind of leading the world in that area. How horrible is that? But go even further than that. People are worried about terrorist groups, individuals, lone wolves or whatever, coming across our borders unvetted. Last week they found, I think they identified 8 people who were deeply tied into terrorist organizations here in our country, on American soil, and more. Now, when I think about that, I also think about people looking around the world and seeing what's happening in the Middle East. They're worried about Ukraine, Russia, China, North Korea, so much more. And then they come back stateside and they're worried about maybe another terrorist action again, like a 9/11, what have you. And they think about our American history as we come into Independence Day and more, how we've waged a lot of wars, go back to the American Revolution, the War of 1812, Indian War, Mexican War, Civil War, World War I, II, Korean War, Vietnam, Middle East, Operation Iraq Freedom. You go through all this thing, and then you start asking yourself, okay, now, what are we fighting for? What are we fighting to protect? And why does it matter that we have a strong national defense? And you start bringing all this, quote, freedoms that we enjoy, that we're trying to protect, that are being undermined, yet we're fighting for these things because we know. Are you sensing where I'm kind of going here? It's confusing. It's challenging to think your way through. What is happening to us? We know that we need to protect us from the bad guys. Bad guys exist. Bad ideology exists. Jerry?
What is happening to us, I think, overall is, honestly, we have forgotten God. We've forgotten that God is the source of our rights. We've forgotten that America was founded largely by Christians for Christian purposes so that we could worship the Lord in the purity of conscience. And out of that, experience of all these different colonies that got together, they created little covenants. And those little covenants ultimately culminated in the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. But God was a key factor to all these things, and we have forgotten that. And so it's like the example in the schools. They kicked God out of the public schools, and in his place, they had to build metal detectors. So I do think when a nation forgets God, it's almost like God is saying, okay, I'm leaving you to your own devices. What? You know, and you could see it, again, more pronounced, the cities which are run by the left. When the left has control of all the different levers of power in a particular city or culture or region or state, then you see all these things collapsing. And are people trying to go from Florida to live in California, or are they trying to go from California to live in Florida? The answer is so obvious. But politics does make a difference, our approach to government. And the reason the founding fathers were so successful is that biblical worldview.
Jerry, I think we're going to put a PS right there. And, it comes back to, we can do this one heart at a time, one family at a time, one church at a time, one community at a time, by the way, one city at a time. And then as we look around our nation, collectively, we're resilient. And by the way, when we press into the heart of God, who knows, exactly where we will go. But our prayer is that he would see us and that he would bless us and make America great again. Jerry, what a delight to have you. Always meaningful conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. Jerry, if we could, if people want to learn more about you, where can they go?
Providenceforum.org. And as my mentor, Dr. D. James Kennedy, once said, America was born because of the First Great Awakening. And then they dealt with the whole evil of slavery because of the Second Great Awakening. Now we are overripe for a new Third Great Awakening. Please pray for that. We need it desperately in America.
Jerry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tim. All the best.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, God's richest blessings to you all. Join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, or give us a call. You can call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. That's 800-526-8673. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you? We will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.